Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes I read verses in the Bible and I think to myself, well, that is obvious. Did they really need to write that down? Our first lesson for this week, Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9, includes two such verses, back to back. The Lord tells us through the words of the prophet Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's thoughts are higher, better, and wiser than ours? Well, that's obvious, right? Who among us thinks that they are wiser than God? I mean, it goes without saying, right, that part of being the creator of the universe is to have a broader and deeper understanding of your creation than any of the creatures in it. Of course, God's thoughts are higher than ours, and God's ways beyond anything we could match. Who would ever question that? Well, I imagine we all know somebody somewhere who gets oddly defensive when you point out that they are not God. Am I right? Do you know somebody who acts and speaks like their thoughts and ways are higher than the Lord's? I can think of several people who stroll through life as though they are at least on par with the Almighty, if not even surpassing God with the insights and judgments that they have about the world around them. I've met folks in almost every state I have been to who act as though they are the only ones who really know the way the world works, and far be it from us to tell them otherwise. These are people who struggle to accept that they are imperfect in any way, and see in their minds that since they are so perfect already, they must be on the Lord's level. So oddly enough, I have seen people squirm when you point out the fact that they are indeed not God. Of course, though these folks are extreme examples of people trying to be like God, we all do this in one form or another. Out of our weakness and feelings of vulnerability, it is all too normal to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, thinking that we are better at our jobs, our marriages, our bowling leagues, our horsemanship, or whatever we fancy ourselves masters of, and better at those things than anyone else. We are all susceptible to coaxing our own egos in irrational ways in the hopes that if we see ourselves as better than we actually are, then just maybe others will too. Even folks who do not really compete to be the best at what they do still end up doing this by thinking that they are more original, more unique, perhaps more avant-garde than anyone else. There are many and varied ways how we end up rejecting the basic truth that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and God's ways are higher than our ways. For all the ways that we resist this basic truth, it is still good that God is in control. Though there are times when God may seem slow to intervene, it is usually pretty cool when the heights of God's thoughts and ways are made apparent in our lives. There are stories of miraculous events that happen every day. Stories abound of children being inexplicably healed from horrendous accidents and injuries. I've heard of many people facing grave financial obstacles who miraculously have generous donors show up and come to the rescue, seeking nothing but to help somebody in need. Addicts staying sober for years. Friends and family selflessly surround each other to support others in moments of loss. All of these are signs of God intervening in our world, often in spite of us. A clear example of anxious longing for God to intervene in our world is hinted at throughout our passage from Isaiah. This part of the book of Isaiah focuses on the time when the Judeans were returning from 70 years of living in exile in Babylon. Throughout the whole time that they were forced to live in their oppressor's capital, the people cried out and prayed to God that they be freed from their oppressors and be able to return home to Jerusalem so that they could once again live as God's chosen people in the promised land. For 70 years they had waited, hoped, and wished for their freedom. For 70 years they had mourned their defeat and the destruction of our Lord's temple on earth. For 70 years they had been forced to live in poverty, on the brink of oblivion, with little they could do about their dire circumstances. Now they had been delivered. God had intervened to free them from the bondage that he had orchestrated decades before to punish the people for their sinful betrayals. God had raised up the Persians and Emperor Cyrus to defeat the mighty Babylonians and make a way for them to return to the land flowing with milk and honey. This was a great and glorious end to the decades of eager longing by the Judeans. They had suffered, wondering where God was that whole time. And this time God showed up to grant them long-awaited freedom. There was only one problem. The land that they were returning to still lay in ruins. There was no temple to return to. The fields were largely overgrown. Their herds were thin, and there was little infrastructure to support them as they returned to rebuild their homes. And so to them, in this moment, Isaiah prophesied for the Lord. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. They were promised gifts of the Lord's benevolence. Though there was no milk or wine in the land, they could hope for the Lord to provide it for them. There was little abundance in the land, but there was great abundance in the Lord's promises. When they looked around at one another, all they could see was poverty and hunger. When they looked to God, they saw thoughts and ways that were higher and more abundant than anything they could imagine. What a wonderful thing to hope for. How good it is to have a God who can see more than we can, especially in our moments of scarcity and poverty. Our passage goes on to speak of even greater things that lay in store for these ancient exiles. They were promised that one coming from the line of David would come to them to lead them and seal the Lord's everlasting covenant with them. While they were still suffering the defeat they had endured at the hands of foreign nations, this Messiah to come would establish them as a people whose strange nations would one day look to because of what God, the Holy One of Israel, was doing among them. Once they were oppressed, but in their freedom they would lead others to freedom because of the one being sent to them. Their story would turn from tragedy to triumph as they were redeemed from their former defeat. Indeed, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and God's ways are higher than our ways. We have nagging tendencies to trying to elevate ourselves over others, even to the point of seeing ourselves on par with the Lord in heaven. It's kind of ridiculous, really. Fortunately for us, though, God knows and sees more than we ever will. God intervenes in our world in ways and times that are good and holy, and be even better than we can imagine for ourselves. And God did just that when the Son was sent into the world thousands of years ago to fulfill the promises that Isaiah made to those desperate returning exiles centuries earlier. We, here in the United States, one of those strange nations that the ancients never knew, now look to the one, Jesus Christ, who was born to share God's eternal covenant with the whole world. And our lives are indeed made better for it. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.